topic. It's a lot of important information you've shared with us this morning. Our next speaker is Dr. Jewel Mullen, who will provide a picture of progress from the state perspective. In December 2010, Governor Dan Malloy announced his appointment of Dr. Mullen as the Commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Public Health. As Commissioner, Dr. Mullen oversees the state's leading public health agency, whose mission is to protect and improve the health and safety of Connecticut residents. Prior to joining the department, Dr. Mullen was Director of the Bureau of Community Health and Prevention at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Board certified in internal medicine, she is also the former medical director of Bay State Mason Square Neighborhood Health Center in Springfield, Massachusetts. So Dr. Mullen, welcome.
The podium is yours. Thank you. First, let me just say that my staff and I want to thank you because we feel honored to be included in today's presentation. And I especially need to say that because I wasn't here during the last decade. So it's up to me to do my best to represent their work and talk about what we're going to do going forward. We can go on to the next slide. Our approach to Healthy Connecticut was based on the Healthy People 2010 Leading Health Indicators. We adapted our state objectives to fit with the data available to us, and sometimes we used alternative or modified objectives and indicators that were more specific for our population. We can go on. Before highlighting today's some of our results in Connecticut, or our lack of progress, I should describe a little bit our state demographics and events that influenced population health and public health practice during the decade. Next slide. First, I'll say that compared to the United States, Connecticut's population has a higher median age, a higher proportion of whites, a higher degree of educational attainment, a higher per capita income, and a lower proportion of people living in poverty. Also, depending on which reports you look at, we're described as having the highest per capita debt, the highest degree of income inequality, and the widest achievement gap among high school students. Next slide. And this is in part because Connecticut's statewide demographic profile really doesn't accurately portray the characteristics of its largest towns. For example, while whites comprise 71% of the state's population, the population of its largest three cities, Hartford, Bridgeport, and New Haven, are made up of 50 to 80% blacks and Hispanics. Next slide. In those three largest cities, there are a higher proportion of adults with less than a ninth grade, high school, or post-secondary education compared to the state as a whole. Next slide. And the per capita income is significantly lower in those cities. Not surprisingly, a higher proportion of people who speak a language other than English at home also reside in those cities. It's also probably no surprise that among those urban populations, the rates of uninsurance are 1.5 to 2 times the statewide rate. Before I go on, I also need to point out that as we focus on the difference between the urban areas and our state, we also know that there are big disparities in Windham County, Connecticut's northeast corner, which ranks at the bottom of Connecticut's 8 counties in this year's county health rankings and number 7 out of 8 in health outcomes. Windham, our most rural county, is 90% white. Next slide. So as I describe our progress in Healthy People 2010, I just want to recap a bit of what we considered some of the significant events of the decade. And you see them listed here. I had to include Unnatural Causes, the documentary that explored the socioeconomic and racial inequality in health, because my observation was that a number of the state, local, and community agencies that I was engaged with continued to cite unnatural causes as they started to think about how to approach their work going forward. Next slide. With regard to our progress in Connecticut, we met most healthy people 2010 targets that were measured with statewide statistics or by our total population. However, our statewide statistics also mask striking disparities across racial and ethnic groups and our urban and rural populations. We can go to the next slide. We've also already referenced the progress in smoking in the country, and what I'll say here is that we did experience a 32% reduction in current smoking that's reported by adults. And that 14 and 40% increase, respectively, of influenza and pneumococcal vaccine was administered, or people reported having received during that decade. We can track the progress in smoking alongside a number of policy changes that occurred in the state. And next slide. And we attribute our improvements in vaccination rates to a number of initiatives that occurred here at the department and within the state, including designating a DPH staff person to work solely on adult immunizations, and collaborations with a number of community partners, local health departments, and our asthma and diabetes programs to increase influenza and pneumococcal vaccinations. Next slide. Nevertheless, we ended the decade facing several ongoing challenges. Connecticut is included in the nationwide number one problem of rising obesity prevalence. And then I'll have more to say about our observations regarding unintentional injuries and low birth weight and premature deliveries. We can go on. We can skip this slide. And I'll say that we also experienced here an increasing prevalence of adult obesity with disparities that we've seen before. And while we can go on, and while our obesity prevalence among adolescents was lower than the national average, obesity among Hispanic females and males was 48% higher than among whites in the state. Next slide. Also of concern for us were trends in leading causes of injury deaths, with the number and rates of deaths from poisonings, motor vehicle accidents, and falls increasing over the decade. The death rate from unintentional poisonings actually replaced motor vehicle accidents as the leading cause of injury-related death. We can go on. Since I've talked about falls a little bit, I'll skip that and move on to low birth weight. We haven't made any progress addressing the disproportionately high rates of low birth weight and high premature deliveries among African American women. The incidence of low birth weight is twice as high among black women compared to whites in the state. And we're very concerned about this link to equally disproportionate rates of infant mortality, particularly in New Haven. I could cite what we're doing to start addressing Healthy People 2020, but instead I think I'll move on to my conclusions in order to leave time for questions. Summarizing, I just want to say that I know we could all feel as if we could get lost in all of the indicators that we might want to address or feel compelled to address when we look at the challenges in our own localities. But we can't do them all, and there are some things that we should think about. First, I'll start with where Dr. Sondik concluded, which was with data. Something that I have said to my staff over the years is that we only know the data that we choose to look at. So not only is it that we need more and better data to figure out exactly what's happening and how we need to move forward with the indicators, we have to look inside our state, our statewide data, to really understand not what's just happening in urban and rural populations, but in specific population groups. We also need to identify our priorities before we start planning programs, which is a shift in the way many of us do our work, especially in state departments of public health. It's important for us to determine what we have capacity and support to actually implement. So we're talking about employing new initiatives and the correct strategic existing initiatives to address 2020. It's very important, as we've already talked about, to maximize our community partnerships, particularly as we focus on policy and systems changes to address the social determinants of health. And when I talk about regularizing program integration and collaboration, it's not just a matter of addressing chronic disease prevention when I'm talking about that, because for a lot of the indicators that we're trying to improve upon, the risk factors are shared ones. It doesn't really matter whether or not we, as a state agency or a local agency, are directly responsible for a particular program, such as tobacco, to address tobacco prevention and tobacco cessation. We have to collaborate across agencies. For us, that includes ensuring that we include our healthy homes programs, our work in performance improvement, our indicators for our maternal child health block grant, our new, I'm happy to say, community transformation grants, along with a number of ongoing DPH programs, with the hope that we'll also be able to preserve some prevention block grant funding to do some of this work. I'll go on to the next slide. We know that we have to exploit all the resources available to us and the partnerships within our state, and we work very closely with ASTHO, NACHO, NACDD, CDC, HHS for guidance and support as we do our work. What I said about Windham County reminds us that there's no particular race, ethnicity, language, or color associated with health disparities. So that's important for us to remember, because we know glaringly what we need to do to address racial disparities in health, but we shouldn't overlook what else we might need to be thinking about along the way. And then I'll just conclude by saying that for the past several years, I spent a lot of time thinking that one of my challenges was to help identify what the role of public health and health reform is. And I have two things to say about that, one of which I think Dr. Coase already referenced, which is that working on the Healthy People 2020 objectives is really advancing health reform. And then finally, for me, part of the brilliance of the Affordable Care Act is that public health is totally embedded within it. So there's no distinction between public health and health reform in that regard. I'll stop there to leave time for questions.